everyone. It's Beverly Hallberg. Welcome to a special mini-series of the She Thinks podcast, where Julie Gunlock will be sitting down with four Kappa Kappa Gamma plaintiffs and Weston Brooke versus Kappa Kappa Gamma to dive into their fight to preserve female-only spaces. Independent Women's Law Center is the lead counsel on this case, and oral arguments will be heard before the 10th Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals on May 14th. Four of the plaintiffs, now ambassador at Independent Women's Forum, join She Thinks to share their respective stories as they look to hold Kappa to the sisterhood promised to them. Enjoy.
Hey, everyone. As Beverly said, I am Julie Gunlock, and today I'm going to be talking with Hannah Holtmeyer. She's a current Kappa Kappa Gamma member and one of the plaintiffs in Weston Brooke versus Kappa Kappa Gamma. Hey, Hannah.
Hi.
Thanks for joining me today. Thanks, Hannah, let's start off with you just telling us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm originally from Nebraska. Then I chose to go to the University of Nebraska, Wyoming. I was a pre-vet major originally, grew up around the farm. My dad and uncle both farm, so farm girl at heart. I went to Wyoming for 2 years, and now I'm at the University of Wyoming with a fisheries and wildlife major.
So you're still at the University of Wyoming. I know some of your fellow plaintiffs have actually...
Actually, I transferred to the University of Nebraska-Lincoln.
So. Ah, okay. Okay, great.
So I'm at Lincoln right now. I chose to transfer because I did what was best for me in that moment. The situation at the house was just not good for anyone. Luckily, I had an escape back closer to home.
Sorry, that is my dog. I do work from home, but... Hopefully she will be quiet with the postman who comes every single day, leaves. So let's get back to the issue at hand here. How are you feeling about the lawsuit? I know that the oral arguments are just around the corner. How are you feeling right now about it?
I'm feeling good. I'm a little nervous, but I'm feeling good. I'm confident that we have the facts on our side. We have the truth ultimately. He is a man. He joined a sorority that is for women. So I'm feeling pretty confident that we can get to the bottom of it and define what a woman is.
Yeah, that's right. It's sort of common sense. It's sort of amazing. How do you feel sometimes when you're talking about this issue and you're sitting here explaining to people that a male has joined a sorority? I mean, do you sometimes go, am I in the Twilight Zone when you're explaining this? Did you ever think that you would be in this situation?
Oh, never. I never imagined that I would be here. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, restating the obvious, he's a male. He has male genitalia. He made all of the girls, most of the girls, feel very uncomfortable. Nobody wanted to interact with this individual, yet he was still there. And it took a group of us to ultimately stand up and say that it was wrong. But yeah, it definitely felt like I was in the wrong for a minute, especially after headquarters and leadership was gaslighting me, basically saying, no, you're wrong. He belongs here. We need to be inclusive.
Yeah.
No, we don't. they were just trying to get their point.
You and many of the others certainly were, I would say, abused by some of your fellow sorority sisters and national headquarters. But before we get into that, and I do want to go into that a little bit, I want to back up and talk to you about who were you politically active, for instance, in high school? Did you see yourself as, and again, you know, you turn on the news today and it seems like every college student out there is politically active. Did you see yourself as a politically active student in high school? Did you see yourself doing that in college?
No. In high school, my biggest thing was sports. If it was a sports matter, I was up to date on it. It wasn't really until this event happened to me that I finally started, tuning into Fox and other news outlets. And even my parents always had it on in the TVs in the morning, Fox News and other local news who would talk about political matters. But I toned it out. I was just there to eat breakfast and leave. But now that I'm to the point where I am, I'm like, oh yeah, I see why they have that on. I see that it's kind of important to be tuned into those things now.
But it is interesting that you came from a family that's fairly politically savvy. I know that your mom and dad really pay attention to the news, yeah, and are interested and, you know, you probably had family discussions. Talk to me a little bit about your parents' role in this. And that can go as far as helping you set up this lawsuit, but also just their support. I know that that has been really critical. And I'd love for you to expand on that a little bit, how the role of your parents and the support of your parents was important.
Yeah. I mean, they were ultimately the reason why I decided to join the Greek system. They were both in it themselves. I hear all their wonderful stories, and they're still in touch with people that they were close with in their houses. But when this went down, I remember I went to my car and I called my mom immediately, and I just bursted into tears. And she's like, "This is not okay." And the next day she was emailing. She could find, and my dad was even calling headquarters, sending emails. They were both doing everything they could, and they continued to do that until no one was responding to us. And we ultimately found a good group of Kappa alumni who took it from there. But at the beginning, it was a lot of me and my parents working hard to just get anybody's attention at that point.
Let's talk a little bit about that, the behavior of national headquarters. Not only were you'd mentioned earlier how you were treated by your local chapter, the leadership of which, many of whom were seniors and wouldn't have to deal with this Artemis Langford, a biological male who became a part of this chapter and was given access to the house. So they voted, they were supportive, they gaslit you, but they didn't have to deal with this student. But then you appeal to headquarters. What was that like? You mentioned that your parents reach out to them as well, and nobody was listening. Tell us what that process was like.
It was miserable. It was a lot of, I'm running in circles here. I remember the first phone call I made, she said, "Well, that's really not my department, but I'll get you in contact with who can help you." No contact was ever sent to me. Gave her my email, left my phone number, voicemail after voicemail, email sent. No one would pick up the phone after the first couple of phone calls. My dad was on the phone with, I forgot who it was. And he's a farmer, blatantly honest. And he said, "You know, this is not okay." And the lady on the phone compared it to living in the dorms. And he was like, "No, they have key cards."
That's why you didn't live in the dorms.
Yeah.
Was to live among girls, yes, young women in a secure women only, what normally was heretofore was a women only environment. What, that's terrible. And so was your dad and your mom and you as well made to feel somehow transphobic or homophobic or somehow the bad guy in this situation?
Absolutely. It took us a while to realize that. I mean, even for a minute, I felt bad calling him a he. I mean, that's to the point where I got. And then I was like, "No, this is not okay." It just took us so long to realize that when they're talking about being inclusive, it's actually harmful. You know, them saying, "Well, we have to be inclusive and we have to do this." That's doing more harm than it is good to anybody, even the individual involved in this case. I mean, there are other places where he could have thrived.
It really is a case of them telling you to put away set aside your natural instincts of fear and discomfort in order to make this male more comfortable in your space. It's absolute, it's turning sort of feminism on its head. It's the most bizarre thing as a young woman to go through, especially when you join an organization that is supposed to be dedicated to women. It's such a strange situation. This case obviously has gotten national attention. How has your life changed?
Public speaking. I'm a lot better at that now. But I mean, just going back to politics, I'm much more aware of what's happening in the world, just from keying into things that I didn't ever even think would interest me ever. But I mean, I'm just more aware now, and I'm better at looking for cues of like, "Hey, that's wrong. Maybe I should say something." I'm not scared to speak my mind. I never really have been, but now I'm I'm a lot more vocal about, "Well, that's wrong. Let's fix it."
You decided to leave the University of Wyoming. What went into that decision?
A lot. It was really hard to leave the home that I'd had for 2 years at that point. I had a lot of really close friendships in the house and connections made across campus. So that was very difficult. yeah, I was hard leaving the friends, but I just knew that I would not have done anything good for me in Laramie anymore.
You, though, did decide to stay in Kappa. Is that correct?
Yep, I'm still in Kappa.
Tell us about that decision. And I'm really curious, what's it like to be in Kappa? Do you have a leadership role? What has that process been like? So that was a multi-pronged question. Let me start with, why did you decide to stay with Kappa?
I decided to stay because, I mean, I have high school friends here, but not enough. I wanted just to make new connections at a new campus. I'm not as familiar with anything. We have two campuses here, one of which I was at a lot for FFA, but where you're on the campus where Kappa is, I don't know a whole lot of people. So I really just wanted to make and keep some connections here.
And what was it like, or I should say not was it like, what is it like? Do you feel tension with Kappa currently? Are you supported within your chapter? Give us sort of a sense of, I mean, you got a lawsuit against Kappa Gamma. So give us a sense of that sort of environment.
Yeah, it was definitely intimidating at first. I mean, the house kind of has a different vibe to it. There, I mean, there's obviously different girls and a lot more of them. So I was very nervous that they were not going to embrace me with open arms like they did. I remember we were at work week and a couple of girls were like, was that you? Was that lawsuit you? I'm like, yeah. They're like, wait, that's so cool. And they just let me talk about it forever. So I definitely got a lot of support that I was scared I wasn't going
to
get.
That's really good to hear. So tell me, Hannah, you know, I asked earlier, how's this changed your life? You know, do you see in the future continuing in any kind of political activism? Do you want to continue advocating for women's spaces and women's, and for goodness sake, you know, everyone acknowledging what a woman is? Is this something you want to continue doing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm going to drive the road as long as it'll take me. As long as we can define what a woman is, I'm here for it. I never pictured myself being in this realm of work, I guess, is kind of what it is, but I enjoy it. So I guess it's really not too much work, but I really just want to help future women and future generations so they never have to cater to the needs of a man who changes his pronouns and decides he's a woman one day.
Amen. You are wonderful, Hannah. I am just thrilled to get to talk to you. And I wish you the best of luck in the lawsuit and your really promising career and life ahead. Thank you for joining me today.
Yes, thanks for having me.
So thank you all for joining us for this special episode of the She Thinks podcast. Before you go, the Independent Women's Forum wants you to know that we rely on the generosity of supporters like you. An investment in IWF fuels our efforts to enhance freedom, opportunity, and the well-being of all Americans. Please consider making a small or large donation by visiting IWF.org/donate. That's IWF.org/donate. Lastly, if you enjoyed this episode, be sure to leave us a comment or a rating or a review and share this episode with your friends so that they can know where to find more She Thinks. From all of us here at IWF, thank you for watching.